Good evening. It's good to see you this evening. Hopefully you've been able to enjoy the day and be outside in some of the beautiful sunshine that is finally here. It's very exciting to see. I don't know about you, but I know that I like success stories. I like to hear about people doing well. I like to hear about people succeeding at their chosen field in life. And particularly when I was in high school playing sports, I really enjoyed watching documentaries on athlete success stories. I would love to hear about guys like Michael Jordan and the success that they had. But more specifically, I like to hear about the story behind their success. Because it's one thing to know that a person is the greatest basketball player in all of history, but it's something else to know how they got there, to know the kind of work that they put in, the kind of lifestyle that they live to get to that point of being such a success. And I know when I was an athlete in high school, I would watch these success stories, and they wouldn't just be a moment in front of a TV. But often, after watching those success stories, I would then be motivated to go train like they did. I would try to do some of the same exercises that we saw them doing on the TV. I would try to practice and do drills the way I saw them doing drills, that it was a motivating factor for me. And in many ways, I hope that's what tonight is about for us. We just had a really good VBS meeting where we talked about our theme for next year. Our theme for VBS this summer is going to be David, a man after God's own heart. And David is one of the most well-known characters we have in the Bible, and for good reason. There's the story of him just as a young man being anointed as king over Israel, for God doesn't look at outward appearances, but he looks at the heart. And there's the story that's one of the most famous in all of the Bible of David and who? Goliath. There's a story of his encounters with Saul. There's the stories of his great feats as a king. And of course, there's a story of David and Bathsheba. But one of the greatest statements the Bible makes about David begins in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Samuel said to Saul, "You've done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man," and we know from later in the story that this man is David. "He's sought out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." And in Acts chapter 13, Paul is telling this same story, and he says it like this, that God raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, "I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my heart who will do my will." This is an amazing compliment that God makes of David. Excuse me, and it's something that all of us as followers of Christ should aim for. It's something that we should aspire to. That David was not only an ancestor of Jesus in the flesh. We read about him throughout all of the lineages of Jesus, but he was also a forerunner of Jesus. And the attitudes that he had, and the lifestyle that he lived, that David set forth the kind of life that Jesus would perfect, and the kind of life that is his followers we are called to emulate. And so I want us to look for a few moments tonight at the story behind the success of David. And I want us to allow that to be a motivation for us. But before we get into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for all that you do for us. Father, we thank you that you have gathered us here tonight, that you have brought us each as our own people to be here as a family, called by your name and saved by your grace. Father, we come before you tonight with open hearts and with open minds, just asking that you would bless us with your Spirit, that you would give us understanding, that you would open our hearts to your Word. Father, we love you and we thank you for all you do for us. Help us to love you more. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So the first thing that we see from David is that David was a man who loved the word of God. We read in Psalm 19, which is a psalm that's not attributed to David. But if it wasn't written by David, it at least captures so much of who he was and what he did. And the same can be said for so many of the Psalms. Not all of them are attributed to David, but we can see David running throughout all of the Psalms. We see that as a current throughout them all. And so we read in Psalm 119, verses 40 and 7, "For I find my delight in your commandments, which I love. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." And then later in verse 37, he says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." David was a man who loved the word of God. And he loved it for very specific reasons. When we read in Psalm 119 and verse 11, we read that the word of God keeps him from sin, that when the word is hidden within our hearts, it can keep us from sinning. We read in verse 50 of that same psalm that when we are in the midst of affliction and pain, the word can revive our souls, they can revive our lives. And then in verse 165 of that psalm, the writer tells us that the word gives us peace of mind when we are struggling. And so David was a man who loved the word of God. And as we look at Jesus' life, we see Jesus as a man who loved the word of God. And when you look at the teaching of Jesus, all throughout his teaching, we see these echoes and allusions of Scripture, of the ancient Hebrew writings. And when Jesus is face to face with the enemy, with Satan, when he is tempted in the wilderness, what does Jesus do? He responds by quoting the word of God. Because David was a man who loved the word of God. Jesus was a man who loved the word of God. And so as we examine our own lives, do we love the word of God? Or do we just give lip service to it? Do we say we love the word of God, but leave it neglected on the nightstand? Do we say we love the word of God but refuse to give up something in our lives? Do we say we love the word of God but won't allow it to actually affect the way that we live and the way that we think? Do we hide it within our hearts, as Psalm 119 tells us to? Do we find comfort from the word when we are struggling, when we are hurting? Does the word give us peace when we desperately need it? In Psalm chapter 1, we read one of my favorite psalms out of all of them. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in his seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but they are like chaff that the wind just drives away, and therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." I love that description of the person who is deeply rooted in the Word of God, that they are like a tree planted by streams of water that gives fruit in its season, that its leaves do not wither. And I want to be that kind of person. I want to be that rooted in the Word of God, that no matter what's going on around me, the leaves won't wither, that there will always be that source of life within me. And that's what happens when we, like David, when we, like Jesus, ground ourselves in a love of the Word of God. We see that David also was a man who loved to pray. That you can't look at the Psalms without seeing the prayer life of David. In Psalm 116, it says, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live." David's prayer was a prayer that was an important part of his life, and it was an important part of his life because David knew that God answered his prayer. That David knew God has heard and that God has responded. And the amazing thing about prayer is that when we practice it in our lives, we begin to build up this stockpile of answered prayers that we can look back on. We can see it when we are in a situation in our lives, how we prayed for something and how God answered that prayer. And the reason why that's so important is when we are in a similar situation, we can look back on what God has already done for us. And we can come confidently before Him so that we can confidently face the situation in our lives. When God responds to our prayers, and He does, it allows us to trust Him more fully and more deeply. But for David, prayer was also something to draw him closer to God. It says in Psalm 145, verse 18, "The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." That prayer not only gives us confidence in God, but prayer draws us closer to God. It strengthens our relationship with Him. So David was a man of prayer. But we know more than anything else that Jesus was a man of prayer. It says in Luke chapter 5 that Jesus would make it a practice to sneak away into the desolate places to pray. And then there's that moment in Matthew chapter 26 when Jesus is about to be betrayed. We find Him praying earnestly in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there's that moment, several moments in fact, on the cross when Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. My God, why have You forsaken Me? Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit." David was a man who loved to pray. And Jesus was a man who was sustained by His love for prayer. So as we examine ourselves, how is our love for prayer? Have we found it to be a source of peace? Have we found prayer to be something that we can do without ceasing, that we just habitually respond to in our lives? In Psalm 32, David says, "Therefore, let everyone who is godly offer prayer to You at a time when You may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters they shall not reach Him. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." That prayer for us becomes a safe place because it draws us closer to God. And so how is our love for prayer? And next we see that David was a man who loved to praise God. If we see prayer throughout the Psalms, we see even more so that prayer coupled with praise. In Psalm 119, verse 164, it says, "Seven times a day I praise You for Your righteous rules," that it becomes this habit in his life. And then we read in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." With everything that he had, with every ounce of his being, with every ounce of his strength, with every part of his soul, David said, "Bless the Lord." David was a man whose life was characterized by praise. That when the Ark of the Covenant was brought into Jerusalem, David's response wasn't to pat himself on the back. It wasn't to say, "Look how good of a king I am. Look how much I've accomplished." But his response was to praise God for what God had done. But see, David praised God so much. He loved this life of praise because David knew very well exactly what God had done. Just two verses later in verse 33 and 4, it says, "Praise the Lord who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like eagles." When we become aware of the work that God does in our lives, we can't help but praise. It is the natural response. It is the only response to being fully aware of the work that God does in our lives. We know that God forgives us in Jesus, that by the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that we can have forgiveness. But we also have healing from Jesus, that Jesus is involved in our physical healing, sometimes through the hands of doctors, sometimes in ways that we don't quite understand. But he is also involved in just creating a wholeness in our lives, that he redeems our life from the pit. That when we find ourselves getting off track, when we find ourselves living in a way that's leading to our destruction, Jesus offers us a hand and pulls us from it. And he gives us his steadfast love and mercy. He gives us not what we deserve, but he gives us exactly what we need. And what we need is his steadfast love. A love that does not waver, a love that does not fail, a love that never disappears. He gives us that steadfast love, and he satisfies us with good things. That every good and perfect gift we have comes from God. And God has done all of this. He has forgiven us. He has offered us wholeness. That he has pulled us from the pit. That he has offered us this life, this love, this mercy is for his praise and for his glory in this world. And David was a man who knew exactly what God had done for him. And it led him time and time again to praise. And we even see this in Jesus. There are times in Jesus' life where he offers praise to God. We see him singing with his disciples on that same night when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read about him singing hymns to God. David was a man who loved to praise. Jesus was a man who praised his Father as well. And so we examine ourselves. Do we love to praise God? Is it the lifeblood of our lives? Is it the energy and the motivation behind everything that we do? This takes the form in our lives of singing as we sing together. It takes the form of our prayer lives, and it takes the shape of our entire lives as we, according to Romans 12, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, as our spiritual worship to God. And if that's not where we are, if our lives don't have this kind of praise within it, praise that is more than just on our lips, but praise that begins in our hearts, then I would suggest that maybe we've lost sight of the work that God has done in our lives. That we've lost sight of the incredible forgiveness that we have been offered, that we have lost sight of the incredible love that God has poured into our lives, that we've lost sight of everything that God has done for us. Because to say what we said a second ago, we can't help but praise God when we are fully aware of the work that God does in our lives. So sometimes we need reminded of this. Sometimes we need reminded of our need to praise. And so God has developed a life as for his followers that is characterized by moments of praise when we gather together to worship. He has given us the table to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made that turns our hearts to him in praise. But maybe you need something else in your life to remind you to live this sort of praise, to ground you in the work that God is doing in your life. I know for me, the alarm I have set every morning is Psalm 103, that it begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." To ground my day in the work that God has done and the response that I should have. So again, in Acts 13, God says of David, "I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do my will." And that's what this is all about, isn't it? That's what being a man or a woman after God's own heart is about. It's about doing his will. And that's why we're here. That's why we gather together, because we want to do his will. So to do his will is to love the word, which grounds us in God's guidance for our lives. If we want to do his will, then we need to love to pray, that grounds us in God's presence and our relationship with Him. And we need to love to praise, which grounds us in God's faithfulness in our lives. That's what gets us on the road to doing God's will. That's the story behind the success of David. That's what got him to the place of being a man after God's own heart. And if we want to be people who are shaped after God's own heart, if we want to be people who will day in and day out do the will of God, no matter what goes on around us, then these need to become regular habits and practices of our lives. These need to characterize our hearts, to love the Word, to love to pray, to love to praise the God who has made all things and who has rescued us from the grave. We offer an invitation tonight for those of you who have not come to Jesus, who don't know the saving power, who don't know that forgiveness, who don't have that relationship with God in your life. If that's where you are tonight, and you are ready to confess Jesus as your Lord, if you are ready to enter into that relationship, you can be baptized into Christ, raised to walk in a new life with Him. Or tonight, if you are here and you are struggling with something and you want us to pray with you, if you're here and you've got some other need that we can help you with, let us know how we can help by meeting me down front as we stand and as we worship together.